Let's go to John 15. Big John. It's hard to think about these kinds of things, but you know, the Bible is just full of parables and types, and so you've got to understand that the like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, what are those things? And I'm going to try to get you to try to understand something. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is you. The tree of life is the crucified Christ. So the tree is, from any perceptible understanding, the tree of life is the barren cross, but not just the barren cross, it's the barren cross that crucified Christ. And so all of the scriptures about the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life have to do with you and I right now. Are we going to eat of the tree of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or are we going to eat of the tree of life? Does that communicate as a way of understanding, maybe? When you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you can only do one thing. You can only give life to the one who is raised from the dead, from the deadly head wound. And it doesn't matter what and how small, and it's just a what is. Now, the two contrasts are the tree of life has something to do with death. Because the contrast was, remember, the offering of Cain versus the offering of Abel. Abel died because he offered the blood of the sheep. Cain continued to displease God because he tilled the ground. And so there was nothing but him tilling the ground. And it says he tilled the ground of the substance of which he was made. So there is nothing that you can do in your thought process except to recognize that you're tilling the ground that can be anything but corruption. No matter how many courses you take, no matter how educated you become, no matter what you do, the best that you can do in going in using the ground is to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's why. Just as, well, let's go. Let's go look. I said John 15, didn't I? All right. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean, or purged, through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of or from itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, the The branch doesn't worry. The branch doesn't have any concerns. The branch doesn't even notice dead leaves, because the vine and the husbandman take care of the leaves falling off, and it, you know, it's just a process. A process that happens automatically. As long as the consciousness, if you think of this, of the branch is on the vine and not on the leaf. Now, every time that your consciousness sees a leaf that's getting brown or a leaf that's getting something that you don't think it's supposed to get, well, then the consciousness wants to do something about it. And that's every time that you see a situation that you think needs attention. No matter what it is, something has captured your attention. If anything captures your attention, it has captured you. And there is no ranking. Are you getting the predicate of this?
The branch actually has no ability to do anything.
That's right. That's why he said, without me, you can do nothing. Now, let's go to 1 John for a minute. We're going to come back to John, so.
Big John.
Big John to little John. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to go through this kind of rapidly because we have to get down to a certain verse, but remember, this is the predicate, that he is the vine and you are the branch. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone unto the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You confess the spirit of Antichrist when something gets your attention, because the one who is all and in all is no longer your source. You've returned to the earth for something. Got it? All right. You are of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And again, it goes back to this tree of knowledge of good and evil. The only thing that one who has eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the only thing that that can do is speak of the world. Now, they'll put heavenly adjectives and heavenly adverbs and everything about, well, God wants you to be this. God, you blah, 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 blah. It's all wrong. It's all of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world because they are of the world. They are not of the tree of life. They are of the tree of the knowledge of, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. What?
I was thinking as they speak of the world, it's in the sense that you're the subject of it. It's about the world, but it's you in the world.
Yeah, but it's really, it's even deeper when you read in the meaning of these words, because the word of the world, it means they speak from the world instead of from the Spirit. And so it's both. You know, and all that the individual isolated self can do in the world, no matter what he does, is make himself the subject of the sentence. That is the fruit of the fall. is self-awareness. And it cannot be you can't get rid of this, of self-awareness. I don't care if you've been a believer for 5,000 years. The only thing you can do with self-awareness is understand that that's just a dead leaf and you don't give it any attention. And God will take the leaf off. So no matter what it is, no matter what issue that you have, if your attention goes back, if you cast your burden on Him, on the vine, and not on the issue, then automatically the husbandman in the vine will take care of the branch. And there's nothing, there is absolutely nothing from the world that deserves your attention. Because everything that we're about and everything that I teach is from this position. All right. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Now this, again, the word love there is agape, love is of God, is a noun, but agape, let us love, agape one another, is agapeo. The only way we love one another is that we love, we give breath, we give all our heart, our soul, our mind is unto Him, and we automatically will love our neighbor as ourself. We won't go worrying about when we should love them or under what conditions we should take care of them. It'll happen. It's one in the automatic. Remember, these incredible words of John in a couple verses before this. He said, "Beloved, now we are the offspring of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And that's not talking about someday off in the distance. It's talking about when our attention is taken away from ourself and concentrates only on Him, or another in this parable, when you take your attention off the branch or off the leaf or off the fruit and concentrate only on the husbandman and the vine, then you will love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the commandments hang on that. Okay, continuing. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might have life through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And He's not talking, remember, there's nothing in the Bible that's talking to the world. The Bible from beginning to end is talking only to the chosen. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Now the word "ought" there is that word that means be fed up with everything else. You must know by now that the only thing is if you have resentments against someone, then you have fallen from the strong city, according to and because you have fallen from the strong city, it's another key or tell that you have resurrected the evil one. You. Something's gotten your attention, positive or negative. What? You're shaking your head, but you're...
There's always something vying for your attention while you're talking. You know, things are trying to divert.
Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes, everybody. For real. I want you to show you something. Close your eyes. See a light bulb in your eyes. See a light bulb and try to hold that. If you're lucky, you can hold it for about a nanosecond. Most of you can't even hold it for a tenth of a second. Well, dim your light bulb. Well, that's not too much of a problem.
Yes, you
can. Huh? My point is that this thing is so, it is built so that you can't do this. Until you've come to the end of everything else.
You know, it kind of reminds me of what we were talking about during the Kol Nidre about gossip. And gossip doesn't matter whether it's good or bad, and it doesn't matter whether it's true or false. And it's like what we're talking about now. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. It's still illegal.
Right.
It's still destructive.
No man, in verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Remember, the word perfected or perfect comes from the word teleos, means to be fully tested. The whatever this is, adjective or adverb, I guess. His love is perfected. It's perfected because nothing else can gain our attention. We are continuing with him in his test. We never have anything at all going on with us. Ever.
Yeah, I hear too. It's tested because we're in the test tube. We're not back judging good and evil about it. We've committed ourselves to it.
And all we do is cast our burden at any moment. The burden is anything that has captured your attention. You cast it on him. And his burden is easy and his yoke is light. This isn't a difficult process. This is the only real process in time and space for human beings. Everything else is difficult because it's of corruption. The only thing that will cause you to think something else is good and easy is because you've been deceived. And if you don't know that by now... All right. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us his spirit, of his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. You don't confess it with words, you confess it with your thoughts, your life. You confess it that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God when you're no longer the subject, when he is your life. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, listen to this, as not as he was, not as he will be, but as he is, so are we. In this world. Now, the way of this is perfected in Christ, and that's what the Gospels are about. The four Gospels are about that way being perfected in him. So that we don't have to worry about it. It's already been done.
It's like because it's boldness in the day of judgment. It's like that's not tomorrow.
That's today.
It's today, and we have boldness because of that second one.
As he is in this world, so are we. Or as he is, so are we in this world. That can never leave your consciousness. Because for me, to live as Christ, to die is gain. Again, the tree of life versus the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. They're always in the garden. They're always there together. But we have learned by our pushing, by our experience, by his word, that the only tree that we pay any attention to now is the tree of life. That's why the only thing that gives us sustenance and satisfaction is his life. The only thing that gives us worth is his blood. Go back to John 4, Big John.
This branch metaphor is so, you know, branches don't do anything. They don't write.
They just sort of hang around.
They don't play the piano. They don't, you know, struggle. So it must be wrong. It must not really apply.
He must have been mistaken. Yeah. He said that.
You can't
tell the difference.
Where the branches are in the vine is.
Now that's upcoming.
Just the root. You can tell what the root is.
And God is the husbandman. That means it's his job to de-weed and de-tassel and de-grape and whatever else he does. De-prune.
Well, I know when a lot of immigrants came to the United States, especially from Italy, in actuality, they brought their vineyards with them, but it was a vine about that big, wrapped up.
One verse quickly in John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, my meat, my food, my sustenance, my satisfaction is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, let's see how he does it. Go one page over to the right.
Where are we at? We didn't go to 15.
No, we just went to John 4. Didn't I say that?
No.
Actually, it's because we have such a tight connection.
So where are we now?
John 4. Now we're going. We were just in John 4.
Right. Where are we going?
Now we are going to John 5.
I understand
English. Okay. First, we're going to John 5, verse 19. Actually, let's go to 17. Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. What the hell does that mean? Well, let's see. Therefore, the Jews sought the most more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of, or better translated, from himself. But what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also do the Son likewise. We've just read that as he is in the world, so are we in the world. We can be no different than this. We can do nothing of ourselves. That's why I said the other night at Big Group how much the will of God was more important than the cup, more important than the cross, more important than everything. And the will of God was not, I mean, it was made known at every single nanosecond. In the same way, the will of God for your life, the will of God is Jesus Christ. How he is manifested in his body is his business. I'm not going to run around and search for what's the call of God. What am I supposed to do? What's my office? I'm just going to be. Are you guys taking Pilates here over?
No, my back is hurt. That's all.
Oh,
sorry.
I thought we had a Pilates class going on. The spirit of Pete.
Yeah.
Oh, aren't we special? Okay, now let's go to the same. And again, I encourage you to read all the red words here because those are the words that are important words. But now go to John. Just go up the verse a little bit to John 5:30. I can of mine own self do what? Nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. All right, let's go to another one. Go to John 6:38.
6:38.
I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Remember, I've told you over and over and over again, there are only two wills in the universe. The will of God and the will of Satan. The will of God is expressed in your abandonment of self, taking no thought for yourself, having nothing capture your attention except Him, having no causes, no issues. You just, what you see Him do, you do. No agendas. How come every time I look at Harry, I think of agenda? Just like boom, boom, boom. Huh? All right.
Well, I mean, it's typified in the temptation in the wilderness, because the will of Satan would be to be self-directed.
That's right. Now, the branch doesn't worry about a dead leaf. Doesn't struggle or worry to try to make the leaf green. He doesn't do anything. The branch just sort of hangs around. Well, that sounds like death to me. You're right. I just would sit in a corner. Well, if you don't believe in God, you would. Everything about the mystery of godliness is dependent on the understanding that you are the branch. He is the vine. The branch can do nothing in life. Then it's really just watching to see what you're going to give away to Him next. It is never anything that captures your attention. Oh, that's mystical. No, it's not. It's mysterious. The mystery that's been hid from all generations, especially this one. The mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Now, either that's true or you're wasting your time. And again, you don't even worry. You don't worry about whether you screwed up or not. If something gets your attention, then you just that's just another dead leaf. And the big thing, you got to hear this. If you have ever heard this, just for a second, you know, Ronnie keeps saying he forgot.
Who?
You. When we had the whole discussion about being born again and everything. If you've ever heard it, just if you've heard this, if it's penetrated, then the good work from God's perspective has started. And the promise is, He that has begun this good work in you is faithful to complete it with no effort on your part except giving. Just quickly give away everything, positive or negative. You know, I've tried to give away in my mind. I mean, I do it all the time. Some of you that have been here a while know how terribly that I tried not to teach. And especially how the incredible effort that I made trying not to move over here. Except I ended up not, there was no other options. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any place else to move. It was Joyce Anna's fault somehow. It was her relatives that kicked me out. I was happy over there in University Park just seeing you guys once or twice a week. Three times.
Some of us were also very happy with that arrangement.
But we went from a Bible study to a group to a body to a church. And we tried not to do that. The reason we meet when we do, remember we first met on Tuesday nights, then we added Thursday, And then we added Sunday, but it was in the afternoon, so everybody could go to their own churches. I still wish the hell you'd go to your own churches. But it didn't do any good.
The church of my choice.
Go to the church of your choice. I mean, I certainly never. This is like. I mean, I have absolutely no qualifications to do this. I have nothing. The only thing I have is that I know. And so, and you got to go by the predicate. I know that also something else. I cannot teach anyone anything. We're not going to have a class syllabus. We're not going to have a test. We're not going to do any of that kind of crap. I'm going to try to the best of my abilities to show you and to tell you what I have seen and pray that the template has been taken off your mind so that you can see what you already know. And we're going to spend some more time on this. But what does it mean when your whole mouth and eyes and everything go dry all at once? I mean, you're about to die?
Dehydrated.
I'm serious. I have no moisture in my mouth.
All of a sudden?
Yeah.
You need some electrolytes.
Drink more?
Anyway, anybody have any response to all this? Is it Harry does?
No, it was thing about what Harry said. The vine and the branches, they really don't know that they're separate or there's a difference between where the vine ends and the branch begins. And I was thinking about the 1 Corinthians 13, where my experience is now I see it darkly, but I will see face to face, and that's when I see that I'm part of the vine, that there is no me that's a branch separate from the vine. I see him as he is.
That's why Jesus said to the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And his goal is for us, is if you've seen us, you've seen Jesus, and if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. That's what we're about. We're not going to go say that, but because what was manifested. We got to go to one more scripture. Ephesians 3, real quick.
Ephesians
3. General Electric Power Company. This is Paul's prayer. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That he may dwell in your heart by faith, that he alone is what gathers and captures your attention. And that's not periodic. That's 24 hours a day. 8 days a week. 403 days a year. Yeah, that's my favorite. 110%. Dipshit. I didn't say that. See, what an abs. Now I'm thinking about all those guys that go make a touchdown, and then I just give God the glory.
Christian
athlete. I think about how listening to this it's very active. It appears passive, that everybody sits around here and doesn't move or show any expression. But there's a lot of things taking place. And what I was experiencing while you were talking today is it was like building a house. And every time I heard something and said amen, it was like driving a nail, attaching things together, you know, building this framework.
That's what its job is, to knit us together in love so that there is one, that we're of one accord, of one mind, of one hope, of one faith, of one baptism, one Lord. All right? What?
A while ago, about 20 minutes ago, I was sitting here and I felt like I had just woke up. And I realized that I was here, and I thought to myself, how in the hell, you know, I'm sitting here with these guys, how the hell did I get here? I mean, sitting here listening to religious stuff in a pair of shorts, doing nothing and sleeping on a floor, I don't know, it's like, how in the hell did this
happen? This is not my beautiful house.
My, I have a request. One of my very, very best friends in the universe that I grew up with, I haven't had any very little contact with since my mother died, is he's dying of leukemia, and it's real aggressive. Anyway, he's always thought I'd been, he thought I was crazy, you know, after I became a believer. He's a year younger than I am. But when I talked to him and you know, he was telling me all this horrible stuff. He's on a, he's on an extremely aggressive chemotherapy right now. And the first time he did it for 2 weeks, and it didn't have any effect. And now he, you know, on his blood count and everything. Now he's doing it again, and he's so weak he can't do anything. And he was telling me all this, and I said, I'm sorry, Larry. I'd have no answers. All I want you to, you know, is how important you are and have been in my life, and that I'll pray for you. And everything changed. Like, if I ever said that I would pray for him before, he'd say, well, to which God are you going to pray to? You know, some wise ass answer. But he, something broke at that minute. And I said, I loved him. And I'm going to start crying now. But his imagery of Christianity is the same as most people's. And, anyway, his name is Larry Brawlier. His older brother was the one that was going to get me on that stem cell thing. He was an executive with Merck. But anyway, please pray for him.
Larry who?
B-R-A-L-L. I-A-R, Brawlier. All righty. Take it, big guy.